And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Sasha, I need you to get your head up, please. Get your head up, please.
Nope, this is where my head is because this is how I feel after this episode right now. This is what you're gonna have to deal with because I am broken.
Can you at least keep your head up when you talk and just not have your face buried when you talk into the microphone? That at least for the listeners, just think of the listeners, okay?
Yeah, because they can't hear me with my very clearly, iPhone headphone microphone, because clearly it's muffled.
Yeah. Anyways, welcome to Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan.
Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan, who is not emotionally okay after this episode. Before we even get to this, fuck this episode. I'm sorry. I love this episode, but this episode brought me to tears, and I cannot remember the last movie that made me do that. And I could probably count the amount of movies I've had legitimately teared over on one hand. So fuck you, Marvel, for doing this to me. I am not okay right now.
Well, let's start at the beginning where we left off.
Where did we leave off? We left off with
Agatha had the kids.
Agatha had the kids in kind of a chokehold, and everybody's like, why can't they just get out of the chokehold? Well, wait a second. And then she says, oh, you're chaos magic. You're the Scarlet Witch. And then the episode ends. So, and then of course the after credit scene of the White Vision. Not gonna lie, White Vision was kind of a disappointment. Not because, first I felt that he didn't really contribute anything to the plot other than reminding us that we're going to lose this Vision. It does sort of set the tone for Wanda having to deal with another version of Vision later on some point in the cinematic universe. It does sort of leave the door open for Paul Bettany to come back, but we'll get to all of that. So the episode actually starts with Agatha getting blasted. No, just kidding. But basically, Agatha has the kids. And Billy and Tommy are like, mommy, help us. But then they're like, wait a minute, we can get out of this. So they actually do something, which leaves the door open for Wanda to blast Agatha. What's actually really cool is that Tommy's actually protective of his brother. He actually tells her, leave my brother alone. I'm like, I really hope I get to see this when you be later on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because as I've talked to you at length about this, I have read every single comic the show was based on. I've also read every single comic that the twins have appeared in, for better or worse. And so one of the things that really lacks in the comics is this brotherly relationship for Billy and Tommy, which I'll talk about at the end. So that was actually very nice to see Tommy being protective of Billy. So Agatha gets blasted. That was fun. We're gonna continue the counter of things Sasha was right about. Sasha was right that Agatha wants Wanda's powers. What's really funny is when Agatha gets blasted, there's like a car and it sort of lands on top of her, and all you see is the shoes, which is a nice nod to the Wizard of Oz. That was very, very funny. I like that a lot. And then White Vision appears, and this scene actually really harkens to the comics where Wanda sees White Vision for the first time, and she's horrified because it's not her Vision. And then the only difference is this time he tried to kill her, and he's like, you are Wanda Maximoff, you are a threat that needs to be eliminated, in his robot voice. Meanwhile, Monica's being trapped by Pietro, and she can't really leave the house because he's got super speed. Woo gets handcuffed and taken to Hayward, which he clearly did on purpose. And then Woo steals the phone while Hayward will apparently eliminate Wanda Maximoff and have his fancy robot, because I'm still not clear why he wants to eliminate Wanda other than she knows what I did to Vision, kind of a thing. Because Jimmy Zell, how are you going to, you're not going to be able to cover this up, especially when I called Quantico and they're going to be here within the hour. He was just kind of a jerk, and I really don't get his, I would have preferred, this is the one thing I actually would have preferred an actual explanation on, was Hayward's distaste for Wanda. Is it because she didn't want to revive Vision for them, even though that wasn't something she was consciously aware of, a power that she had? So I don't know. But anyway, so
maybe that will come up in Doctor Strange 2 or something.
I wonder if it'll come up in Captain Marvel or Secret Invasion or maybe Doctor Strange or Spider-Man 3 or like
anything. I don't think anything of this, like, while it will be connected in some form or fashion to Spider-Man 3, I don't think we're going to see too much into it. If anything, we're probably going to see something about it in Doctor Strange 2 or Captain Marvel 2. I could see it in one of the two. Especially Captain Marvel 2, and we'll talk about it when we get to the end of this episode, because of the little Easter egg that's kind of laid there for us.
So I actually could see S.W.O.R.D. going after Spider-Man a little bit in Spider-Man 3, but granted, they're introducing Kraven the Hunter in Spider-Man 3, which will allegedly be played by Keanu Reeves, or so they say, which will be amazing and hilarious, and I love it. But we'll see. So there's a lot of possibilities of Hayward, but I think Captain Marvel 2 is the likeliest option. But we'll see. So Jimmy, because he went to, you know, Close Up Magic School, and because he is a competent FBI agent, he got out of the handcuffs and kept the phone. So he called his buddy at Quantico named Cliff.
And let's be honest, Jimmy Woo, he had that hard-on crush on Scott Lang, and it still shows. It shows, because Scott Lang inspired him to do the close-up magic.
I mean, he also probably thought that Scott was dead for 5 years. So, you know, to honor him, he continued with the close-up magic.
Well, a lot of people thought he was dead until he just magically appeared.
I really hope Jimmy Woo comes back in Quantumania somehow, because the interactions between the two actors were just, there was so much gold in there. Yeah. But we also forget sometimes that like 5 years has passed and Woo was not snapped. So he's not the same agent that was slightly bumbling that we saw in Ant-Man and Wasp. But anyway, so he calls Cliff and says, hey, I need you to get down here within the hour. I'm like, I saw that coming. I swear to you, I saw that coming. So Wanda is in the center, goes to the center of town, and we find out that the Darkhold, which was that creepy ass magic book we saw Agatha had in the basement, has a chapter on the Scarlet Witch. It's a book of the damned, and I guess that there's a Scarlet Witch that is born, and she's forged, or she isn't born, excuse me, that she's forged, and a power that exceeds the Sorcerer Supreme. I'm like, okay, so Wanda Maximoff has had so many freaking retcons in the comic book universe that I don't even know where to start. The current retcon has Wanda's mother comes from the fact that she was part of a long line of Scarlet Witches that were passed down from mother to daughter, some nonsense like that. So the fact that it says the Scarlet Witch isn't born, she's forged, I wonder if that's either hinting at the familial connection or actually disavowing it altogether.
Well, I mean, they're saying for this version that this Scarlet Witch came through the Mind Stone.
No, that's the thing. She didn't. The Mind Stone amplified Wanda's power, but she already had it in the first place. That was in episode 7. Or no, actually, it was the last episode. Yeah. So Wanda's power was amplified by the Power Stone, Mind Stone. But I think Wanda's mind powers and ability to like manipulate minds, that came from the Mind Stone. I think everything else was slightly amplified, but I think it was kind of one of those things where she didn't use it and she was going to lose it, but the Mind Stone circumnavigated that. So it's interesting. This is our little Easter egg to Doctor Strange, because she says that the Scarlet Witch is more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme. The reason for this being is that the Sorcerer Supreme is a person that learns magic, whereas Wanda did not. And I think that puts the limitation here on the Sorcerer Supreme is more of a guardian than the supreme magical being, at least within the context of the Marvel Universe. So it is a powerful wizardy person, maybe the most powerful out of this other batch of wizards, but not necessarily like the most powerful of all time. So Wanda's destiny is apparently to destroy the world. You know, I gotta give Wanda credit in all of the things she's ever done. And some of them were really not that great. She's never tried to destroy the world. At least not without being manipulated by Shathan, Mephisto, insert random bad guy here. And even when her own brother manipulated her, she ended up creating a world that gave the Avengers their dream come true, basically, and the X-Men and everybody. But anyway, read House of M. Dottie, we see Dottie, her name is Sarah, and Agatha actually wakes everyone up. And we find out that Dottie is not who, or excuse me, Sarah, whoever it was, we're just going to keep calling her Dottie because that's how we knew her. She has an 8-year-old daughter, and apparently one of the things that Wanda did was that she didn't want to hurt the kid. And again, this is all revealed that Wanda did manipulate people's minds, but she did it subconsciously. And it's just like she wasn't aware that she did it. So every night these people have nightmares. Wanda's nightmares. And their kids are asleep the entire time, so they're not dealing with this, which is nice of Wanda. I don't think she realized she did that. And it's interesting that Dottie's first thought isn't like, let us leave and like, we'll never bother you again. She just wants her daughter and she wants to hold her and have her be part of the story. And which I think was kind of intended to be sort of a compromise. Like, we won't leave, just like, let me have my daughter. She could be a friend to your kids or a bully for an episode. I'm like, whoa, that's like pretty desperate and terrifying. And this is where we see that Wanda finally sort of understands the scale of what she did to other people. And that scares her. And of course they all kind of move into her. And we actually find out something interesting. Herb says that he's been mind controlled or whatever, that he doesn't even know who he is anymore. Maybe making me think maybe he was actually the witness that Jimmy Woo lost in the hex. But we never find out who the witness actually was, unfortunately. I wonder if that will come up later on in some other project. We shall have to see.
Yep.
So, back at Pietro's place, we learned that the house isn't actually Agatha's. She's sort of a squatter. The house actually belongs to Ralph Boner.
Yeah, Boner. I don't
know why that was necessary.
Yeah, you gotta think about it from the way the character's being played. He does have that he has that sophomoric humor to him, so it kind of works along that.
No, I get that. I just don't understand the behind the scenes reasoning for this. She knocks over she finds his like headshot, making me think that he's actually an actor. Which is also weirdly enough, and whether I think it's an intentional nod or a semi-intentional nod to actually Master Pandemonium, because Master Pandemonium, actually Martin Preston was actually an actor before things changed for his life, ended up making a deal with Mephisto and essentially becoming Mephisto's bitch. So Pietro is actually Ralph, Agatha's husband. Totally not husband, obviously. Monica knocks him back because Monica is just badass and knocks over the necklace that people notice he was wearing, which gets rid of his power, leaving Monica to leave Agatha's house or his house, whatever, the house. So the twins are kind of implied to be Wanda's salvation. Wanda's power explode. Wanda breaks the barrier, and Hayward uses that as a way to get inside the hex. And we get a lot of this like vision versus vision stalemate stuff. And sort of as reality starts to break, so does vision. And the twins also start breaking down. And what's interesting is the way that they break down is akin to how everything got started with kind of the like Tetris puzzle pieces, which is a nod to House of M. The barrier reseals just as the FBI arrives, and the family starts, they're kind of on the path to fight. And basically Vision's going to fight Vision again, and they move to the library. Wanda's taking on Agatha. What's actually really important to note here is that as this is all happening, Wanda's actually losing her magic because Agatha wants it. So she's sucking it away with every blast that Wanda makes at her. So, something about the conditional vision. Oh, Vision says that Wanda's vision says he's the conditional vision. And Wanda's like, boys, I need you to handle the military while mommy goes to deal with the evil witch. So poor Billy, and Tommy, but this is where things get interesting. Billy freezes everybody with his blue powers, while Tommy whizzes around and basically gets rid of all their guns and steals a hat and grabs some shades. I'm pretty sure this was completely unintentional, but still a very brilliant nod to issue one of Avengers: The Children's Crusade, where all of the young Avengers are fighting the Sons of the Serpent, which are sort of like this paramilitary, like white supremacist style organization. And as Billy's blasting people or freezing them or whatever, Tommy's actually zooming around and collecting their guns. It's interesting that in that same panel, Billy Kaplan and Tommy Shepard, Billy's internal monologue goes in and talks about how they're the Sons of the Scarlet Witch and Vision. Which kind of sets up the tone for the rest of the issue. But it was a nice nod that I'm like 100% was unintentional, but I caught it and I feel pretty proud of myself. So yeah. Hayward, who I hated this guy in the first place, but my hatred of him went from like, you're a douchebag to I want to see you tarred and feathered. He shot at kids. I don't care how righteous you are. When you start shooting at children, you can go die in a hole. And, you know, Billy and Tommy don't know what to do. And God, Kirby bless Monica Rambeau, because she steps in and absorbs the bullets, which pretty sure she had no idea she could do that. But she, well, correction, the bullets sort of go through her and they lose all of their firepower and sort of drop to the floor. Except the last one. Billy stops the last one. And Monica's like, thanks, kid. So Auntie Monica needs to be a thing now. Then pure magic, Darcy arrives and slams that funnel truck right into Hayward. Perfection. And then she says, have fun in prison. I'm like, yeah, that's where you're going. FBI's going to take you in. I think the raft would be a perfect place for him, don't you?
It's just a shame that this is the only time we actually see Darcy, though.
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
Like I know they make reference to her in the mid-credits scene, but like that's the only time you see Darcy in this entire episode.
It is unfortunate, because my favorite solution for getting Billy Kaplan and Tommy Shepard would have been Wanda having to hide the twins and Darcy's be like, hey, I know a nice Jewish couple on the Upper West Side. Let me tell you about them. But yeah, no, it's kind of sad that we don't see much more of Darcy. But I wonder if her absence has a purpose that will eventually tie into maybe Secret Invasion or Captain Marvel, whatever it might be.
I can honestly see her coming in the play, probably more in Doctor Strange 2.
Anything is possible.
Given how that the next time we were actually supposed to see Wanda is Doctor Strange 2, that leads me to believe that we'll probably see Darcy Doctor Strange 2, even though Kat Dennings has not been confirmed for the film yet.
I think given that they're so close to shooting, it's possible, but she's an astrophysicist, so she can show up anywhere, really.
At this point now, yeah.
At this point, yeah. So anyway, but yeah, no, I could see her showing up in Doctor Strange for sure. So Vision versus Vision, they talk about the Theseus ship, which went over my head a little bit. But basically, if you rebuild a ship with new parts, is it the same ship kind of a thing? White Vision realizes that he's actually a weapon, and the Wanda's Vision restores the White Vision's memories. He's like, I can't give you. So basically what we need to do is we need to find Stark's old Jarvis files and re-upload them. That's what we need to do. But anyway, so White Vision just sort of leaves after that and we never see him again.
He just buggers off. He's like, you know what? Yeah, my job here is done.
Wanda, but what is important here is that the hex does break, so all of the cool town looking stuff is gone. It's just the same town that we saw towards the end of last episode when Wanda first arrives to town. Or everything's kind of going haywire and things are changing times and things like that. So Wanda gets into Agatha's head, and we're transported to the moment we saw at the beginning of last week's episode, the origins of Agatha at the in Salem in 1690 whatever 1693. So Wanda, Agatha, then because Agatha is very powerful, it ends up affecting Agatha. It ends up affecting Wanda more, and Wanda ends up being tied up instead. And says that knowledge is Wanda's problem, meaning her lack of knowledge. So Agatha kind of makes her an offer, your magic for your cozy life. And Wanda actually says no, but starts getting all blasty. And sometimes she misses. So sometimes she hits Agatha, sometimes she hits the hex. Kind of funny that. So Agatha starts absorbing it, but she can't dish it back. Why can't she dish it back? Because Agatha made a very big mistake. She showed Wanda the runes, which Wanda copied into the hex, meaning that Agatha is powerless now.
Yeah, that was a nice little line that was thrown there. Where it was like, thanks for the lesson.
Yep, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So Wanda's outfit at this moment changes as she takes away Agatha's powers, basically. Or she sucks back her own magic, I guess. She is transformed into this gorgeous outfit. My only complaint about this outfit, I wish it was like full bodied a little bit more, like it covered her like shoulders, but she gets a cape later, so I can't complain too much. Like, it's a gorgeous costume and I actually really, really like it.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, I think Elizabeth Olsen had some input on the outfit, because I know she stated that she was disappointed in some of the past outfits that she had in the films. So,
I can't blame her. It was kind of like accentuating a certain part.
Yeah, so like, I wouldn't be surprised if she, you know, because she also mentioned that she was a fan of the comic book outfit.
She was, but she wasn't, but yes.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if she worked closely with them in trying to set the set up how the costume was going to be.
It's entirely possible. Okay. So where were we? She outfit changed. Her person will be here. No happy ending for her and Vision, and the hex comes down. So what's interesting here is that Wanda is actually, she sort of punishes Agatha and makes her the nosy neighbor, the role that Wanda or that Agatha chose in the hex. And so she's like, oh, you're going to need me for what's coming or whatever. And Wanda's like, I know where to find you. I'm like, yeah, I love that line. It's one of those tropes that gets reused a lot, but it's always one of my favorites. Like, you can't just keep me here. You're going to need me. I'm like, yeah, but I know where to find you if I need you. And she puts Agatha in the mind wipey state that so many of the other people were. No happy ending. So the hex is coming down. That means that Billy and Tommy and Vision are all gonna go bye-bye. And I saw this coming, and this is where I started crying and sobbing uncontrollably. Now, actually, I didn't do that, but I got very teary-eyed. I got as close to crying as I get, which is not much, but there was like, you know, that one teardrop thing happening. So they tuck the kids into bed, and then that family's forever and they can't truly leave each other. And as Wanda leaves, she said, thanks for choosing me to be your mom, which kind of implies that Wanda doesn't actually know how the kids came to be. There's been a lot of theories about Wanda making the kids out of like the magic, her pulling other kids from somebody else's parents. Or what was the other one? That Wanda was pregnant before Infinity War. Wanda being pregnant in Infinity War, or around the time of Infinity War, I should say, actually kind of makes sense. That it's a possibility. We don't really know quite how human Vision was or wasn't, so it's entirely possible that the twins were real, but because they were born in the Hex, like, no matter what you do, Billy and Tommy's origins are always going to be convoluted, whether you go with the comic book accurate version, which, oh God, do not go there, or this. I actually prefer that one of those theories better than she borrowed pieces of Mephisto's soul, because not gonna lie, having a Jewish kid associated with a demon just kind of rubs me the wrong way. So the town, slowly starts turning back to normal, and it's an outward inward effect, meaning because the house was the first thing that's changed, it's going to be the last thing to revert. And Vision asks Wanda what he is, and she says that he's a piece of the Mind Stone that lives inside of Wanda, her sadness, her hope, and her love. And that is just so heartbreaking. Like, I don't understand how anybody like cannot see the love there. It was so beautiful. Wanda, so Vision disappears, and Wanda is left alone at the moment it all began. Wanda goes to the center of town, back in her superhero outfit, I guess, with all the people, and goes to Monica. Monica admits Monica says, you know, my mom also died, and Wanda says, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry for everything. And Monica admits that, like, if she had Wanda's power, she'd do the same thing. And, like, I don't blame Wanda or anybody, really. Like, if we had the power to have our perfect life with our lost loved ones, who wouldn't do that? I think there's very few people who would not give in to that temptation. Peter Parker would do that in a heartbeat. Like, let's be real here. You mean I could have a perfect life with Uncle Ben? Here, Mephisto, take my soul. Like, it's a thing. So Wanda's sorry for the pain that she caused, but that she's going to leave and try to figure things out. So Wanda actually flies away, and this is where we see her cloak. And I really like the cloak. I'm like, yeah, cloak. I love a good cloak. Just as the FBI arrives. And she leaves Westview. And this is where the episode ends. But then our first after credit scene shows Wu is in charge of the cleanup and Hayward gets arrested. And then some FBI agent lady comes up and says, hey, Monica, they're waiting for you in the, or Captain Rambeau, they're waiting for you in the theater. What does that mean? So Monica goes to the theater and there's nobody there. And she's like, what's going on? And the FBI agent lady morphs into a Skrull. And before the show, Michael and I were sort of debating if this is Talos's wife or Talos's daughter, because like timeline wise, it could be Talos's daughter.
And just to put it out there, in the IMDb, it just says Skrull agent. That's all it says. So it could be either one, it could be neither of them,
because we know there's other Skrulls. But she says the director would like to meet with, he says she was sent by a friend of your mother's, meaning Captain Marvel, and says that he'd like to meet with you. And she's like, where?
Well, it could be one of three people. It could be Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers herself, it could be Talos, or it could even be Nick Fury.
Right. No, it can't actually be, because she specifically says, I was sent here by a friend of your mother's or something like that.
But the
Monica
thing is,
was the only friend, as far as we know in canon so far. It could be Fury, but Talos went to space. So it's either Fury or Captain Marvel. Either way, the implication is that the he that wants to meet with her is Fury. Because as we know from months in the future in Spider-Man Far From Home, Fury, the real Fury is in space. So actually it could be Talos's wife. That would make sense because she's on Earth just like Talos and his wife were on Earth in Far From Home.
Yep.
So that is where the after credit scene ends. And then we get a final House of M reference. So at the end of House of M, the world reverts and M Day happens and everybody's like, well, where's Wanda? And like, wherever she is, this isn't the last we've seen of her. And in House of M, the comic, we actually see Wanda seemingly clueless as to who she is, with this glint of green in her eye, because she has green eyes in the comics whenever the plot needs her to have green eyes in the comics. And she's walking through a town square in Wondagore. Here we see the I'm gonna guess that these are the Wondagore Mountains, or this is the site where Sokovia used to be. Could be either one of them. I like to think it's Wondagore. And we see Wanda sitting outside in a cabin, and then she gets up because she hears the cattle going. And it's a very basic cabin, very minimalistic, very old-fashioned, so like no Wi-Fi. But we then zoom past Wanda into the bedroom where we see Scarlet Witch Wanda reading through the Darkhold, which is just of a bad idea, but fine. And the last thing we hear is this voices of her sons going, mommy, or something like that, we need you, or come find us. And this is what we're left with. So let's talk about Billy and Tommy in the comics. And I think I've talked about this at length. Billy and Tommy were parts of Mephisto Lost Soul. The soul they get absorbed back into the Mephisto Master Pandemonium, to given back to Mephisto. And then once Mephisto is destroyed, the souls are set free and they get sort of timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly reincarnated into the bodies of Billy Kaplan and Tommy Shepard. Billy Kaplan grows up on the Upper West Side with two very nice, very lovely Jewish parents who are the single greatest, most understanding and loving parents in the entire Marvel universe that are not superheroes. I think they come, the only people that measure up to me are like Jessica and Luke in terms of just like mom and dad, not like aunts and uncles that raise you. Because if that were true, Aunt May and Uncle Ben, like they get points, but Uncle Ben is dead. So they are, Billy's one of the few people that not only has a great relationship with his parents, but both his parents are alive. So Tommy, on the other hand, grows up in New Jersey in New Jersey with two crappy parents. I don't want to spoil too much. If it ends up coming up later in the MCU, Tommy does not have the best childhood, poor baby. Which is why I kept hoping that like, if the boys disappeared, that they would be together somewhere. And cause I don't like, the idea of separating siblings in any way just hurts my soul. If I had one, it would hurt. But anyway, so this is not the last we've seen of the twins, if purely by no other reason than the fact that Marvel is very clearly setting up a Young Avengers movie based on Cassie's recasting, based on the Kate solo, based on the fact that we're actually getting Kang the Conqueror in Quantumania. He's the first like big villain that the Young Avengers fight that we know of. And there's rumors that Eli Bradley, the best Patriot ever, will appear in Falcon and Winter Soldier, which is coming out in 2 weeks. So all of this leads me to believe we're getting a Young Avengers movie at some point of some sort. And I think if rumors of Teddy appearing in Secret Invasion, or I would even argue Captain Marvel 2, which I think will set up the Kree and the Skrulls at war, because a lot has happened. So like, it's not outside the realm of possibility that mainstream Skrulls are fighting the Kree Empire, and that Talos's family and the small people, the small group on the ship were kind of just offliers and not part of the larger issue. Because in the comics, as we mentioned in my Captain Marvel review, which go to the archives and check that out, is one of the missteps of the Captain Marvel movie, which was like, they made the Skrulls too easy the victims of the situation instead of having the issue of two people competing for dominance in space. Anyway, so there were also rumors that Wanda would be the bad guy in Multiverse of Madness. I think given they already said that Nightmare was going to be the main villain, that seems unlikely. However, I wouldn't be surprised if they are setting up for Wanda to become more of a gray character. Not quite akin to like Mordo, but a character that the Avengers would definitely feel threatened by because she is more powerful than they can handle. Oh boy, ain't that the story of Wanda's life. So yeah, I think there's a lot of questions that are still unanswered. We still don't really know Hayward's full motivation. We still don't know who the witness was. I'm trying to think what else that we didn't get an explanation. We still don't know what's up with her rabbit, what's Ralph's real backstory is. Who are these people from the town? I think this would have, I really wish the finale would have been a full two hour and a half, just so that we could get a couple of more of, at least about the town itself, sort of those like wrap ups.
But that's the thing though. This episode did not have an intro like the way other episodes
have. Previous episode.
Exactly, which leads me to believe that this was technically a two-part finale last week and this week, because it was continuation of the previous episode, because it literally started where you left off from the last one, compared to other ones where you had all these different arcs and stuff.
Episode 7 also, but then it kind of started as a TV show, then kind of went to normal. But anyway, I do think there is a little bit more that could have been done with just at least the townspeople, because we barely saw them. You know, Pietro in the 90s episode makes this crack about Wanda keeping the kids asleep until she needed them for like a cameo stuff. So I wish we could have gotten just like a little bit more of a resolution for the townspeople other than, okay, they're free from the hex now. But I know at the core, this is Wanda's story, and this is largely told from her perspective. We see things as Wanda let us see. With Agatha, like, except for Agatha's interferences, which we didn't even know about because Wanda didn't know about them. So there are things that I think will lead into other things. I think the witness could have just been an offhanded reason to bring Wu into it. There could have been another reason for it. We won't know that until we know it, because this is how the Marvel Universe works. It doesn't always tell us everything. We just have to go through everything else. Maybe Kraven the Hunter was the FBI's witness. Like, it could be anybody.
But not only that, but like, I don't think we ever get introduced to the actual aerospace engineer.
That's right. Thank you for bringing it up. We do not get introduced to the aerospace engineer, which makes me wonder if that will be part of the plot of Captain Marvel, which if it is, it means it is not going to be Reed Richards. It is actually going to be Adam Brashear, like I said it would be. Which actually, they are casting an actor who is in his 20s and 30s, who is like a Michael B. Jordan type actor, which further implies that it's going to be Adam Brashear. I feel pretty proud of myself for that one.
Calm down now. Calm down.
We also don't know the fate of Agatha's rabbit because she kind of talked to it. So there are questions left unanswered. That's okay. I don't think this is the last time we've seen Agatha. I think it would be cool to see like a full-fledged Scarlet Witch movie at some point. I think there are a lot of storylines with Wanda, and there's a lot about her backstory that still doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah,
particularly the stupid names of her parents.
Yeah, I don't think in general it'll be the last time we see Westview, New Jersey either.
I hope not.
Well, especially the fact that one, you're probably going to get Agatha back at some point, depending on what story they want to tell. And when you do that, you have no choice but to go back to Westview. And I think especially if it's done in a film itself and not in like a series, I think that's where maybe you could have a little bit of that fallout that you were kind of hoping for from the townspeople. Yeah. That could be played out when she comes back to retrieve, you know, Agatha.
I hope so. I really hope that we see more of this town. It is interesting that like we didn't. So maybe there is more to Dottie than we know.
I don't think there's more to Dottie than we know, because like last week you were saying something about that it could be a coven, like that Agatha could have her own coven, and that was completely debunked in this one.
Yes,
because Dottie wasn't who Dottie really was.
There was a lot of hints at another character, which makes me wonder if it was just Easter eggs or if something more will happen. We won't know. At this point there were just Easter eggs to keep us going. But I did enjoy this episode. I had to sort of like walk away. And I think in all of my posts, I said, please send me a kitten and a blanket.
But you got Mr. Darcy. You don't want to make Mr. Darcy jealous.
Yeah, Mr. Darcy's not quite as cuddly as I make it seem like he is in my Instagram. He's not a very cuddly kitty. But hopefully he will cuddle with me tonight. He did cuddle with me last night. So maybe he sensed my tension and worry about this episode. But for anybody freaking out about the loss of the twins, like, I hate to break it to you, but this is how it happened in the comics. Like, could they have done something different? Yes, but I think they are setting up Billy Kaplan and Tommy Shepard. And anybody who doesn't like that can suck it, because my pool of Jewish superhero representation is so despicably small and so despicably full of problems that I will take what I can get, even if it hurts you.
And then, do you know who's Jewish?
Don't say Moon Knight.
Darcy Lewis.
Darcy Lewis's actress is Jewish.
Yes.
But we do not know her character is Jewish. But yeah, which is why I mentioned Darcy sticking around, I'm like, and she knows a Jewish, you know, family on the Upper West Side. That was my crack about Kat Dennings being Jewish. And so I would like to see that explored more, because look, y'all, let's be real here. comic books were invented by Jews. Most golden age superheroes you can think of were, with some exception, were created by Jews. Most of the big editors were Jewish. Most of the big names in comics that you can think of off the top of your head are Jewish. Kirby, Simon, Lee, Goodman, Claremont, like I can keep going, Heinberg. Like, so it is despicable that in such a Jewish medium that Jewish representation in comics is so abysmal, but that is a conversation for another podcast.
or for a potential panel at a convention if we're able to do conventions this year.
That is my plan. I actually, I talked about this a couple times, but I was actually able to about this time last year, I had actually just returned from a comic book convention in Richmond, Virginia, which is GalaxyCon. And I had a wonderful time. And I actually made a presentation about Jewish erasure in the comics. It was a little bit more general this year. If I'm able to do conventions, I will be sort of readjusting it as a general conversation about Jewish erasure in comics and in and some of the superhero mediums, particularly movies and the CW shows. You know what you did, CW. So obviously we'll keep you posted as things come up. And before we go into the social medias,
I didn't get to say a few things. Is there I'm not sure if you really touched base on it for the end credit scene, but when we see Wanda or Scarlet Witch Wanda, she's pretty much impersonating Doctor Strange.
She
doesn't know who Doctor, I mean, she knows who Doctor Strange is and stuff, but like when you see Wanda, she's making the tea, and then when you go into the bed, because
does
that's
she know Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, maybe the end. Yes. Passing. Yeah, because of Endgame.
Fine. They were on
because
the same
they're part of the battle. They're also at the funeral together.
Yeah, but you know, if I go to a funeral of somebody I barely knew and barely liked, I don't think I'm gonna recognize a lot of people. So yeah, okay, they'll be like a real interaction. They were on the same battlefield. They saw each other. They never interacted. So. But yes, it is a nice nod to Doctor Strange. I will admit.
Not only that, but like when you look at Doctor Strange 1, how is he learning all the stuff? He's asleep, but his spiritual self is doing all the reading.
That's right. Yeah. So this is hinting that we will see Wanda in Doctor Strange.
Strange 2. That's why I said in my text message to you, and I'll actually pull it up real quick, because these were my text messages to you.
Legasp, you guys are getting inside our innermost phone text message.
How often do we talk about this? We've talked about this like the last several episodes about like our texts. I go, interesting end credit scene, really good way of tying in Doctor Strange and the kids for Doctor Strange sequel, because she was pretty much doing what Doctor Strange was doing when he was learning at Carmitage.
Of course, Doctor Strange had a much longer path. And, you know, he didn't read books that are, what was this book called? Called The Darkhold. Wait, wasn't there a Darkhold reference in Doctor Strange?
I believe so, because he was reading that one forbidden book that, you know, that had, that brought out Dormammu.
I don't remember if that was called something else or not. We'll have to check
it might
that.
Have been, it might have been called something else, but I do vaguely remember them saying something about Darkhold, but because they had like copies of books of like everything for sorcery and stuff.
So one article suggested that was actually the book that was missing from Doctor Strange. The book actually has appeared multiple times in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but first appeared in WandaVision, blah, 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 the book, blah, 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 blah. In the scene, Doctor Strange, Wong takes the Strange into the master section of the library and explains that the villainous Cassius stole pages from one of the books. However, in the same row of books, which are reserved for the Sorcerer Supreme, aka the blah, 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 Wong explains that no knowledge is forbidden, only certain practices. The practices found in the Darkhold certainly blah, 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 blah. There is no mention of the Darkhold in the movie, but so it could be that missing book. So anything is possible, folks.
They allude to it in a way without saying it, essentially. And then of course, the build up for Captain Marvel 2 with the mid credit scene, because you know you're obviously establishing not just the next time you're going to see Wanda, but the next time you're going to see Monica. And I'm so proud of him. Paul Bettany got to work with Paul Bettany. I'm just so proud for him. There was no brown breaking cameo that was being always alluded to. It was just Paul Bettany working with Paul Bettany.
Anything is possible.
Yeah. Oh, and then me texting and going, when do you want to record?
that's very important for our listeners to know, is us trying to coordinate timing of when to record these episodes.
Well, I had texted you and then I took a nap and then I texted you back going, so when do you want to record, after I woke up from my nap?
Speaking of, you know, things that our listeners do need to know, are, you know, negative 616 listeners.
Wow, we brought that back.
I literally just remembered it 2 seconds ago. But, and I made a Marvel reference because the main Marvel universe takes place in the 616 universe. Haha. Anyway, next week we are not actually going to be on the show. We don't have an episode planned. We're just going to be taking a break and watching the behind the scenes stuff about the making of WandaVision. But we will be back the week after, because we are going to be reviewing Falcon and Winter Soldier, which should be really, really fun. It's definitely going to be a different tone than WandaVision, definitely more of like a spy thriller kind of a thing, which should be really, really cool.
Yeah, and not only that, but that's going to be 6 episodes and 6 episodes only. Please note, I know there's people going around that keeps wanting to say that there's going to be a second season of WandaVision and a second season of Falcon Winter Soldier. There is not going to be one. Even Anthony Mackie has come out and said there's not going to be a season 2 of Falcon Winter Soldier. These are one-off, limited-run series they're one-off, limited series for the purpose of building up to something, to like the next thing in the MCU.
Which begs the question, though, what is going to be the next big thing in the MCU that ties in Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Well, see, for WandaVision, it was obviously building up Monica for Captain Marvel 2, and then building up Wanda for
Doctor Strange 2,
and not only that, but technically also Spider-Man 3, because they've openly admitted that Spider-Man 3, WandaVision, and Doctor Strange 2 are all linked to each other.
Yes.
Whereas for Falcon Winter Soldier, we just don't know that one yet, because we don't know what movies and stuff they're going to do yet. But as we've learned with Marvel, we tend to sometimes find things out like within those end credit scenes. Maybe by the time we get to episode 6, we'll have a better idea of what they're building to, especially the fact that there are rumors of a Captain America 4 film. And you know that eventually Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan, depending on how things go with Falcon Winter Soldier, will be back in a movie in the future, just a matter of when and what.
This is true. I think there's a couple of possibilities. They could hint at other Disney Plus shows that are coming up, like say Hawkeye, for example. That would make sense. Maybe even Ms. Marvel, but that's a stretch.
I think Ms. Marvel will be more tied to Captain Marvel than to Falcon.
But Ms. Marvel comes out before Captain Marvel, so...
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I think that would be more tied to that.
Yes, but we there's a lot we don't know. There's a lot that I'm really excited about. I think I have an idea of what this plot is going to go into, that I think I've talked about a couple times, but I'm not going to say anything until I watch the first episode, because I think that'll give me a much better idea of where the show will go as compared to the first episode of WandaVision.
Well, not only that, but you just also kind of like, yeah, the first episode cement to set the tone, but you really aren't gonna know till you get to that last episode. Let's be honest,
which was a lot of fun. I gotta say, I was like desperately like, I did everything except look at Reddit for like Easter eggs and information and hints and everything else. I have a lot. I don't quite have that same desperation with Falcon and Winter Soldier, mostly because I think it's going to be significantly less secret as to what the story is going to be compared to WandaVision, which had a lot of secrecy behind it. A lot of things were unclear. There was way too much speculation. And
I guarantee you, now that WandaVision's over, we're probably going to have a week of WandaVision talk and all this other stuff. And then once we get to a week out from the debut of Falcon Winter Soldier, all the speculation and wondering is going to come out in full force, because we still technically don't know a lot about what's going on with Falcon Winter Soldier.
True, but it's going to be slightly less outlander speculation as compared to WandaVision. Because, you know, WandaVision did not, as I predicted, introduce Mephisto. It did not, as I predicted, introduce the mutants or the X-Men into the MCU. Thank you, Kirby, for that.
Apparently, there's a movie in the works, and its running title is called The Mutants.
The sourcing for that is iffy. I will be very happy with
that. I read it from comicbook.com.
I heard it from Screen Rant and like a couple other people.
Yeah. See, Screen Rant, you know, is like 50-50. Comicbook.com, I tend to refer to more. But they actually have quotes from Kevin Feige, and he says that they've been talking about internally nonstop about how they want to introduce the X-Men.
Not really surprising. He's talked a couple of times about that.
He's apparently a diehard X-Men fan. He openly notes.
Maybe he'll remember that all of the iconic storylines have nothing, and most of the iconic characters have jack shit to do with Stan Lee, and we can move on from that.
So, he also started as a producer on the original X-Men film too.
He did, yeah. And you know what? You and I actually just before we started WandaVision reviewed all of the X-Men movies except for New Mutants.
Which we'll get to eventually. And please note, on the website, it does say we'll do New Mutants after WandaVision's over. No, we're not. We're taking next week off. We're taking next week off. We're going right into Falcon Winter Soldier. And then
we'll have, I think, a little bit of a better gap between Winter Soldier and Loki. Stuff. Yeah, because Black Widow and things like that, if it ever comes out. But either way, that's what it is. Black Widow will tie into Falcon and Winter Soldier, and Falcon and Winter Soldier will tie into Black Widow somehow.
Because Black Widow is a prequel that takes place during.
It's a prequel, but it takes place in between Infinity War and Endgame or something like that.
It takes place in between Civil War and Infinity War.
That makes no sense. But either way, it's possible. But anyway.
They openly said it literally takes place in between the events of Captain America Civil War and Avengers Infinity War. That's when Black Widow takes place.
Doesn't make any sense, but whatever. Yeah. Fine. I will accept it until I'm sure I officially see it on the screen. But like, fine.
Even saying that Tony Tony Stark is supposed to make an appearance and dead. Well, no, I think it's more like a passing type thing, official.
I don't care. I hated it Far From Home. Like, let Tony Stark stay where he is. Like, I don't need constant talk about Tony Stark. You can talk about Stark Industries. Fine. Stop mentioning Tony Stark. Like, we just let him die for just a little bit.
Well, this is a time when he's still alive, so that's a little hard to deal with.
Don't care. Let him die. What else?
The homeboy die already.
Seriously. There's something else I was going to say before we were talking about Black Widow. Yes, the X-Men and New Mutants. So if there is a mutant movie in the works, great. Please make sure somebody X-Men related has a cameo in it. I was actually the one thing I noted, I have a note here somewhere, is I really wish Steve Englehart would have had a cameo in WandaVision, because he was the one that wrote the Vision and Scarlet Witch comic about Wanda being pregnant and everything. Like, that would have been a really nice nod, even if it was just like a casually passing guy with a hose. I think it would have been a nice touch, because I think now that Lee is gone, what we really should do is honor the literally infinite number of other creators that deserve a little bit of shine and really deserve a cameo. I mean, come on, Ed Brubaker had a cameo in Winter Soldier. Like, if you can get, like, you Marvel, come on, get on this. But with that.
Yeah, sorry, I'm trying to hold in a sneeze because that's what I do.
Well, thanks for letting our listeners know, Michael. But do tell.
No. This is not like the first time I've ever said on a podcast I'm holding in a sneeze. And then eventually, I mean, normally I'm with Ben and Ben starts yelling at me to just sneeze anyways. But anyways, you can find me on the social medias, at the Twitters, at the Lindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75 Productions. Twitch, doing the video game thing at twitch.tv/MikeLex75. For those of you interested, not really interested in hockey or Fall Guys, Thursdays, I am actually doing something completely different. I'm not doing Among Us anymore. We kind of took that off. I am currently playing Concrete Genie, which is like a little RPG action adventure type game. We're almost done it. And then we're actually going to go into Ratchet and Clank, which is a classic. It's the PS4 version where they take elements of the original PS2 version and just kind of like update it a bit for like, and it came out in 2016. It's the PlayStation at Home free game for the month of March. So I downloaded it, and that is the next game on the docket for Thursdays. So if you're interested in that, hit the twitch.tv/TheMikeLex75, hit the follow button, turn on notifications, and it'll notify you when I go live. And then of course everything's on the website txhthockey.com, and for the show specific, /nerdy-notions.
And of course you can find my lovely self crying into a corner because I'm still not over this episode over on geekgirl101.tumblr.com. If you'd like to sign up for the Billy Kaplan Jewish Defense Squad, let me know. And of course on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan with a K for Billy Kaplan, the greatest superhero of all time. And with that, thank you for listening, and join us as we head back to America. And we discover the legacy that Steve has left behind with Falcon and Winter Soldier.